Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Nice to have you all with us. Today I'm here with Rachel. Say hello, Miss Rachel.
Hello, Miss Rachel.
And, of course, our special guest, Miss Vicky. Vicky Love, say hello.
Hello.
She's not Miss Vicky. No, sorry. Anyway. We're all sort of laughing.
Thank goodness no one knows that reference anymore.
But I do.
Yeah.
We are having fun because you know what? It's a fucking new year. Okay, so we're gonna have fun, right?
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
And of course,
we are here for fun.
Yes.
So today we continue our Doctor Who series with part 5. And of course, we just went through the New Year and Christmas. So, of course, we have to talk about the Christmas and New Year specials, which are all basically from the new reboot series. So Vicky, just an overview on what you think of the specials. Was that a good addition to Doctor Who, do you think?
Well, I have news for you and everyone else out there. The Russell T. Davies specials that Moffat continued throughout the reboot are not the first ones, really. There was a holiday built into the very first Doctor Who, and it's called the Feast of Stephen. And my very least favorite companion of all companions, with one of my most favorite doctors, of course, the first doctor. They're on Earth, and they're not traveling throughout the universe. Stephen's a pig. He's always complaining. He doesn't want to be a companion. I don't even know why he's there. And so anyway, they're on Earth, and he's been mistaken for a cadet at the police academy. But it's Christmas time. And so after all is said and done at the end of the episode, you know, there's Christmas trees and themes throughout, visual cues throughout the entire episode. But at the end, the doctor, if you ever watched the first doctor, the black and white episodes, he always has a tray and he brings stuff out on the tray. Sometimes he brings food out, sometimes he brings medical devices out and bandages and stuff. So anyway, on this one, he brings out champagne and he toasts to his companions a happy Christmas, and he turns to the television and, well, the camera, and he toasts to the fans, happy Christmas. And so really, that's the beginning of Doctor Who and recognizing the fact that it's Christmas time. So
there you go.
Russell T. Davies knows that. I mean, he's definitely the archivist of Doctor Who trivia. And so that is how the reboot specials began, because Davies himself watched that and thought that was a really cool idea. So that's how it all started.
Okay.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, very cool. And I was familiar with that, though I've never seen that specific episode. But in my research, I knew that too. But my main question still remains: do you think that the Christmas specials add to the reboot? That people?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
And why do
yes.
you think that?
Because no matter what woke Hollywood wants to try to push on us, no matter how much this subversive storytelling bullshit out there, they want to, you know, tear down and recreate. Human beings are traditional. Human beings thrive in habitual type rituals, the summer solstice, the spring equinox, all these things. Look at the Catholic Church. Look at mall churches. All these things bring a foundation to human life because we're always looking for something to ground us, to why are we here, bring us experiences. And that's what the Christmas specials do for Doctor Who. It's a huge universe, right? Back when they used to put out the Star Trek movies every November, it was a Christmas tradition. And people loved it in the Star Trek universe. The people I knew, which is three times the size of the Doctor Who universe, loved that because that was a tradition. And so Davies, who's, of course, brought back into Doctor Who because it's such a woke failure, the specials will come back again. I know it. I know it in my heart because tradition is important to us, I think.
Okay. That's a valid point.
Ooh,
what about you, Ray?
Ask me the question, Carl. Yeah.
Yes. Go right
okay.
ahead.
I know.
So I have to say this, and guys, please do not give me any hate. I have kept this from you until now.
Nope.
But I know I can contribute to the conversation. I have only seen one Doctor Who Christmas special. And here is the reason I did not watch any others this week, Carl. And I wanted to save this for the show. And I'm glad that I did. Because, Vicki, what you just said, like, 100% backs up my feels. Okay. The only one that I saw was the Christmas special right before Jodie Whittaker took over. It was the Christmas special where she was basically announced as the new Doctor.
Right.
I had also just gotten into Doctor Who. Don't forget that I was pregnant with Bronwyn when I started and finished watching all of it. And I do include Torchwood, Sarah Jane, all of it. I finished that while I was still pregnant with Bronwyn. So 5 years, that's all I've had to be a Whovian. And one of my dearest friends and my show-watching buddy, Chris, was the big Whovian, really, really kind of influenced me to get into it. And then, of course, he had to take me to the Christmas special at the movie theater.
Right.
Now, this is before COVID and stuff, so don't forget. But I hadn't been to a movie theater in I don't know how many years because my ex-husband had some neurological disorders, was not allowed to go watch movies. I hadn't been to a movie theater in probably at least five years, but probably longer than that. And so when I finally, for the first time after that horrible, horrible period in my life, got to go out to a movie theater, eat popcorn, sneak candy in, drink a giant soda, and share this moment, this Christmas moment with my best friend who truly understood my feelings for this show, it was one of the most magical things I've ever experienced in my life.
Yep.
And nothing at this point, at least with the Jodie Whittaker character, is ever going to compare to that night or live up to it. So I have not watched any of the Christmas specials unless they were aired in those seasons, and I don't remember them as much. I remember going to the movie theater and thinking, oh, my God, I can't wait to do this again next year. And then I couldn't. But I want that tradition, and I could see from that special how much of a tradition and It spoke to me in my stupid Christmas elf kind of way. I love, love, love Christmas, and I haven't been able to properly celebrate it in many, many years until this last year, and thank you, everybody. It's been
amazing. Just to clarify, the one that you saw was the one with Peter Capaldi, The Husbands of River Song?
Mm-hmm.
No,
okay.
Not the husband. Oh, is that the one you saw? Yeah.
No.
You saw the Peter Capaldi who was with the first Doctor who they don't want to regenerate.
Once upon a time. Twice Upon a Time.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, once
that
upon
was
a
it.
Time.
And it just, it was a standalone thing because it was shown in the movie theater, but I also watched the specials about it. And of course the theater played the special with all the doctors meeting together and stuff. And it was just, it was wonderful for me. And I want that more. I'm sad to say at this point, I don't feel like I want that with Jodie Whittaker. It's no offense. I just think she got put into the wrong spot at the wrong time, but not that she didn't do fantastically. I'm happy there was a female reincarnation of the Doctor. I just don't think that they took the arcs that they needed to.
Yeah, I agree with that part too. But I'm really glad if you have never experienced, that's my favorite Christmas special. And for many, many, many reasons. And I'm glad that was the one that you went to see. What could be better than that one?
I know. It was so epic and it was so beautiful. And I was like, wait, Chris, are you telling me that they play a Doctor Who show every year at the movie theater?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And I was like, shut up and take my money.
I went with a student one time.
He didn't drive or anything, but he would arrange things for us. So,
well, whoever he is awesome, okay? He is awesome for giving that to you. Those are the kinds of gifts that people should give other people.
Those are the kinds of gifts that I try to give other people is the experience gifts. And, you know,
yes.
That was part of something I noticed in the special is it's not about what you're giving to people physically. It's about what you're giving to people.
Yep. Yep.
And that hits me so hard because I have been so poor most of my life that I can't usually give you something physical unless I made it myself. But I will always, I will cook for you any of your favorite foods. I will make sure that you have a place to stay. You will never have to worry about feeling, you know, stranded somewhere, which is a lot of what they deal with in The Doctor is people being stranded in these situations across the universe, and there is somebody out there that wants to help you.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to give people. I can't always give you an actual wrapped up gift in a box, but my gift to you is the love that I have for you and everything that comes with that. You call me and tell me you're stranded on Tatooine, and I will find a way to go back in time and get your ass back.
I'll remember that, Rachel, because someday I plan to go to Tatooine. And I might get stranded.
And
well,
I might have to rent
you.
A space RV and come get your ass. But I will be there for you, Vicky Love, because
awesome.
I adore you.
And you know what? There's a bus that is a magical bus from Doctor Who also that you could take to Tatooine because it's already been to the desert before. So grab that.
Exactly.
Oh, you guys are silly. I like it. So Vicky, since Rachel has only seen one, I basically have my top five specials.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if you had a top five list also.
Well, I don't have a top five because, let me see, let me move a couple of papers around. Oh, look at here in my hand. I have the BBC Doctor Who Christmas special in DVD. So I have all of them, okay, because I love all of them. There's one that I don't love very much, and so it's always last on my list.
Actually, if you want to.
Okay. Well, I tried to watch it again, too, just like, okay, I'm going to try to watch this again. It can't be as bad as I remember because I saw this one at the movie theater also. And it's the Dr. Mysterio. I forget the real title of it. Let me go back.
The Return of Dr. Mysterio.
Yes. The Return of Dr. Mysterio. Yes, I saw this at the movie theater also. And I remember walking out going, man, I really don't like that lead actor. And then he shows up on another show that kind of bad too. So anyway, Dr. Mysterio, the whole thing with the doctor showing up upside down, the child being so bloody stupid. Children aren't that stupid. I just spent Christmas with my granddaughters. If you tell a child to hold a red glowing crystal, I don't care what kind of flu that child has, they're not going to drink it down into their gut, okay? It's just a stupid scenario. And so making the child as stupid as they made him just really threw me off. And I understand they wanted to give the kids superpowers because they're competing against Marvel at the time, because Dr. Mysterio is a 2016.
I remember that one.
Yeah, do you do? Yeah, I was so sad. That one just was like, you know, how did they even think that this was going to be fun? Why do you have to mimic Marvel? I know Marvel's making all the money in the world, but someday it will fail. And 2022, Marvel failed spectacularly. And it's about time. But that's another show.
Yeah, I agreed 100%. I remember thinking some of the exact same stuff on that one. And I do remember seeing it now because, like I said, I saw it just as an episode that they played at the end of something. And now it was the same thing. That's, I think, why I blessedly tried to forget it. Thanks for bringing that up, bitch.
Well, Rachel, you have children. My children are grown, but you have children in your house. Are children that stupid?
Oh, my God, no. Holy
they're
shit.
Not.
I have to watch everything around these kids because they're so smart that, like, they're like little lawyers, plus they're sociopaths. They will find a loophole. I mean, they're the kind of people, if you tell them, even though they know you're making mashed potatoes for dinner, if you say, hey, go put some mashed potatoes on the stove, or, you know, go put some potatoes on the stove, you're going to come back and find potatoes sitting on your stove. Like, no, kids are smart. And they're smart because they're so simple. Usually the simplest solution is the easiest and best one. And the most likely. And no, we forget how smart kids are because they do regress to that simplicity. But that simplicity sets them over an edge that we can't even see anymore.
Right, right. That's why that show, that particular special, just takes a left turn into the ridiculous. And so many people out there say that Doctor Who is ridiculous anyway. They can't understand it. It's bigger on the inside. That's silly. You just watch silly stuff. You are just a grown-up child, blah, 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 blah. And then they put that in the movie theaters, and that, I think, made me upset.
Yeah, I want to say
Dr.
something
Mysterio
here.
Dr. Mysterio is on the bottom, on the bottom.
I'm not saying it's on the bottom because, to be honest, I've not seen any of the Whitakers, but you're absolutely right. The problem with it, it's not a Doctor Who special. It doesn't feel like it. It just doesn't work for me. Now, what I thought it would do, since you don't have a top five, I do. And I'm going to go five to one.
Well, I do have a top five, but
okay,
I just don't.
Then, Okay, so
but
what I'm going to do is
I'm going to start with my
number five, and I'll explain why, and then we'll get reactions, okay? And then you can come in. My number five, without a doubt, is The Runaway Bride. Now, the reason for that is Rose has left. The doctor is despondent. And suddenly, Donna Noble shows up, unannounced, in his TARDIS. And it showed a complete change in what was going to happen. And he was so
despondent. In a wedding dress.
I always thought, yeah, in a wedding dress. And he was so despondent, I thought he needed a couple of slaps, which she provided. And suddenly there's a new energy. And we aren't privy to the fact yet, even though they knew at Doctor Who, that she was going to be the next companion. We thought this might be just a one-off. And it really changed things. And as they brought Donna in as the companion, the whole tenor of it changed. And it's not, you know, we talked about this previous on the show. Donna Noble is my favorite companion. I make no bones about it. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful introduction to her. I think it's a wonderful change in the show. Gives it a little bit of lightness to it and that. So that's what I think about the Runaway Bride. What's your thoughts on it, Vic?
I know way too much about the backstory of this. So the only reason why we weren't, as the audience, told that Donna Noble was going to be the new companion was because what's her name? Good grief. I'm having a moment here.
Billy Piper?
No, not Piper. But Donna Noble, the actress.
Yeah, Captain Tate.
She had some Captain Tate. Yeah, sorry, Captain. She had obligations in contracts, and so she had to fulfill those. So they couldn't start filming Doctor Who episodes, but they could. She could fit in a Doctor Who special because episodes, you know, they run concurrently when you're filming. So anyway, that was the thing. That was the thing. And she, everything you said is absolutely correct. Billie Piper wanted to be let go for many reasons. Her career was starting to really take off. She was very young. The ending of that broke people's hearts. People were so sad, so you had to take it. They had to take the whole departure of Rose and Doctor Who moving on into a new direction. And the chemistry between Tennant and Tate is just undeniable, undeniable. Mm-hmm. And so it just worked out really well. Although The Runaway Bride is like number five on my list of my favorite specials, it's still up there, okay? Of the 10, I like it, but there are others that I like more.
Yeah, and it's number five on my list too.
Rachel, what do you think about Catherine Tate as a companion?
Okay, I guess I forget that I've seen these specials and that they were Christmas specials. But, yeah, I've seen that one as well. And personally, that episode about near pissed me off. Now, as I've gone through the series and seen and understand more, I'm a lot more lenient about it. But honest to God, I was still reeling from Rose.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
I was still sobbing my fucking guts out. And don't forget that I didn't watch this show with time in between it. I literally binged every single new series episode up into The New Chick.
Right.
So,
I watched it
all back to back.
And
like, I was still sniffle, like, hiccup sobbing from Rose's departure. And so when Catherine Tate showed up and she was brash and weird and I was not sure about it, and I was like, is this about to be the new bitch? Is this going to be the new bitch? I don't like this bitch.
Like,
I admittedly was probably still very emotional.
No. Like I said, because, like, Rose is my favorite.
Yeah.
And so when I saw, because they didn't announce that Catherine was going to be the next companion, I was like, okay, I'll give her that. She's on the special. There was a special before that. There was a special after that. There, you know, I'll give her a special, but please don't tell me she's going to be the companion. And when she was announced as companion, I was like, whoa, no.
I did the same thing. Like, when I realized, because I went from the special right back into the show, and when I realized that she was going to be the companion, I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Really? Really? I know what companions are, and I know they get replaced, but if this is the person that they've got to replace Rose?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think she would ever work out. Never.
And yet, I got to say something about Catherine Tate here. And she did. She worked out extremely well.
Well, and actually, because she was Donna Noble, I am now familiar with her other things that she's done, the comedy and all the good shit.
Right.
And
yeah.
I am so in love with her. The Catherine Tate Show is one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. Just, if you guys don't know, put it on the BBC. It's great.
It is.
Yeah.
Right.
It took a minute, but like I said, I was freshly, like, that moment still reeling from the loss of Rose. And then it was her suddenly in my face, and I was like, how can you do this to me? How can you do this to anyone? They've only had a season's worth of time to recover, because
because Doctor Who used to be a yearly thing. They used to work, you know, no one works like they used to. And so we'd have the special, then we'd look forward to fall when we would get some more Doctor Who. And, you know, but that was then. It's not the way it is now.
No, that's
true.
If
you were streaming, you could watch it all. Bam.
Yeah, well, it's
a different experience.
And I have to bring this up, and I will say that nothing has been the same since the writer's strike. Nothing. You can watch shows like this, shows that were like Heroes. You know, the first season of Heroes came before the writer's strike, and that was one of the most prolific and amazing and new and innovative shows I'd seen probably ever. But you didn't get your second season for so fucking long, and it was starting to be written by people who had no idea where the storyline was going, and they were like, oh, yeah, these random people on the internet are just going to give us their content for free. Let's go ahead and publish that, because we're not going to pay our writers. And well,
right.
We see how that went. But I can tell in shows when the writer's strike happened, even if I didn't realize it was show at that point, but I've seen so many. And you can tell when the writer's strike was happening with Doctor Who, for sure. For sure. And it's just, it's annoying. It's mind-blowingly annoying to be able to recognize that. And I feel really old because I'm like, there's people in the world that don't even know that happened. It didn't even happen in the lifetime that they were alive. God.
Yeah, well, writing, everyone thinks they're a writer. That's the worst thing about writing is we all go to school and we're taught how our ABCs, and we're taught how to write a sentence and a paragraph, and our teachers go, oh, that's really good. Honey, keep going. And so everyone thinks they're a writer, and they're not. And so that's
exactly
the biggest problem. Anyway,
and I just want to say here that I'm not a writer, but I am a podcaster, and I think we need to move on to the next episode.
Okay.
Just want to say that. Okay. So I'll keep going with my list. My number four Christmas special that I love is The Next Doctor. And that's the one where Tennant comes in and he goes to Victorian London and he runs into someone who thinks he's the doctor. And we find out why that is and that. And I really like this episode. So, Vicki, I'll let you go on and see what you think of this episode.
Well, okay, I have lots to talk about this episode. I love this episode. The Next Doctor is actually one of my favorites because of everything about the story, everything. But anyway, David Morrissey was actually in the running. They were talking to David Morrissey because Tennant wanted to leave Doctor Who. His time was up. He wanted to go do other things. And so David Morrissey was one of the actors that they were talking about to take Tennant's place. And so when they decided to go younger with Matt Smith, it was a crush to me because I always thought that David Tennant regenerating into David Morrissey was just the most perfect doctor regeneration. I love this man. I love the way he talks. Oh, God, his voice. If he read me a bedtime story every night, I'd be happy till I died. I love his voice. I love his face. I love his expressions. I love the way he moves. The only thing is he's not kinetic enough to be the doctor. And they even said that when they chose Matt Smith, they went with a younger, more kinetic doctor. Excuse me, sorry. It made me really sad. But the story of the Next Doctor, where Tennant knows, you know, this is Tennant's sort of goodbye. And he's kind of floating between what is he going to do next. He doesn't have a companion. And he meets this man who has literally lost everything to these weird, creepy, gorilla, Cybermen things. And the story is heartbreaking.
But it's also not just heartbreaking. It's also joyous at the end, too, because he realizes who he is. You can imagine you know, Morrissey is going to use that in his life, you know, past this incident. And I really like this. I think it's a great, great episode. And I got to say, those ape Cybermen are fucking creepy.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes.
And of course, he has, don't forget, he also has a companion called Rosita. Of course, Rosita. You know, I mean, the whole thing is mirrored quite well. And I just think it's a great episode. I think it's a wonderful episode. Now Rachel, have you seen this one?
No, I have not.
Okay.
That was right before I started watching, right?
No, it would be in that mix because it's Tennant.
I've probably seen it, but I do not
worry about
that one at all.
Oh, I like the giant robot too, by the way.
Yeah, I like the actress in it too, who's the bad guy.
Oh yeah.
I've seen her in lots of things. I can't remember her name right now.
Dervia Kirwan.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, K-R-R-R. I watch a lot of British programming.
Good stuff. So should I just continue, I think? Probably.
Yeah, might as well.
Okay, so my number three is Twice Upon a Time, and we talked about this a little bit. And that's, of course, Capaldi's last episode. And, of course, he hooks up with the first doctor. And this one, too, is, I really, really like. So, Vicki,
well,
do you want to talk about this one?
Yeah. Okay. Game of Thrones fans out there, I don't know about you, but anytime after, what, the fourth season, third season, The Red Wedding in Game of Thrones, if I saw David Bradley's face, I was just like, I hate that MF. Oh, my God. I just hate that man. Get him off my TV right now. Because in Game of Thrones, he, what the heck just happened? I have it right here. I don't know. Anyway, in Game of Thrones, he played a very, 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 very deceitful, backstabbing character. And so I'm just like, oh, William Frey. And he was the architect of the Red Wedding, and Game of Thrones fans know what I'm talking about. So I heard that he was going to be in the Doctor Who special, and I'm just like, oh, my God, what the hell are they doing? What are they going to do? Is this going to be the worst episode or what? Or, you know, special or what? And then he shows up as the Doctor. Couldn't have played William Hartnell better than he did if he knew the man in real life and studied under him. He played him perfectly, perfectly. Oh, and oh, you know, some of those things that you sent me for to watch. Some of those lists
right.
you sent me to watch. Some of those were very woke people, and this
yes.
one guy.
Yes, I can that too. Go for it. Go
yeah.
for it.
He's like, oh man, that first doctor. Oh, this is why this is at the bottom of my list. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said to that companion. This is, and I'm just like,
Bill.
Oh
yeah.
my God. What Rachel said. Rachel said it, what, 3 minutes ago or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, there are people alive who don't even know about the actors or the writer's strike. Well, you know, there was a time before woke when there was we still didn't like what was going on, and some of us lived under it. Like being a woman before woke was really pretty hard, making your life out
rough.
There in the world. Yeah, and
I am
so,
here with you for that.
listening to this guy say, oh, that first doctor, blah, 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 I just was cracking up and pissed off all at the same time. And then I just turned him off. I'm like, I know what special I like, and I'm not going to listen to this motherfucker anymore. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. So anyway, this is Capaldi's best speech on kindness. In fact, this is the speech I'm going to be using in my new show. I mean, this episode, this is my favorite episode, has it all. It has it all. And so it has every human emotion. It just, I just really, really love this episode. So, yeah.
Yeah, it really is good. And I understand exactly why it's your favorite episode. I mean, we both love Capaldi as the doctor, but you have a great love of Hartnell too,
yes,
and Bradley's incantation of Hartnell is dead on. And by the way, just to talk about the woke stuff, he's so sexist in this and that. But you know what? But you know what? Maybe he is, but Bill gives it right back to him.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
And the other thing is, okay, so what is my thought on that? I, you know, but I do understand why you like it. It's only my third favorite, but that speech by Capaldi,
yeah.
Oh, my God, what a speech. And of course, that's one of the great things about the Capaldi era is that they let him do monologues. And there are several
yeah.
monologues during, you know, and he's just so freaking good at it. Seriously.
Some people don't like that, though.
I don't care.
Some people, that's why they don't like Moffat, is they say that he's too preachy and that Capaldi was too preachy as a doctor. But he was, that was supposed to be his last three generations. That was supposed, he
right.
was supposed to die at the end of that, at the 12, right? And so
right.
you get a little preachy as you get older. And because you see things really much more clear. After 50, I'm telling you, I still, the people who are turning 50 that I know, I go, you just wait. Wait till you're 53 and you're going to see everything different than you see it now. All that youth stuff is going to be different in your eyes. And that's how Moffat wrote Capaldi, because the 12th Doctor couldn't be a young Matt Smith. He had to be an older Capaldi because that was going to be his last regeneration. So this is a really good special. It's a really good special. It brings together all this. And I'm looking at how many people helped on the writing of this, which is really incredible. There are three other writers, including Chris Chibnall. See, you know, you thought that Chris Chibnall was going to be a good choice to take over, and he was just the most horrible choice to take over. But how do you know, I guess? So anyway, I just love this special. It's definitely my favorite one.
Okay. So I'll just continue. By the way, Rachel, do you know that one at all? That's the one that you saw in the theater, right?
I think so. But Vicky really had a lot of good shit to say about it. I'm here with you, honey.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll go on to my second favorite Christmas special. And that has to be The Husbands of Riversong. It just has to be.
Yeah.
God knows we love Riversong to begin with. The whole thing about that the Towers of Trillium, and we know it's the last time they're together. And of course, during it, she doesn't know that he's the doctor until later. And it's just a wonderful episode. And it's such a great farewell to River. It's incredibly heartfelt, and that is the one Christmas special that truly made me cry, except for my number one. Okay, so I just need to say that I was very emotional over this one, seriously, because I just adore River Song, and I love how she interacted with everyone, and this is a real nod to how good Alex Kingston is as an actress. And that's what I have to say about The Husbands of Riversong. So Vic, I'll kick it over to you.
Well, I don't know if you remember me dragging you to the theater to see this, but I did.
Oh, I absolutely remember. I was actually tearing up at the end of this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't this remember one. Your reaction, because my whole focus was on the screen and my own self.
Right.
So I don't remember your reaction. Sorry about that.
Okay, that's okay.
I love the point where, because all of us who are Doctor Who fans, but all of us who really know all the episodes inside and out and everything, when she says, is this the last time I'm going to see? Oh, no. So this is the last time I'm going to see you. And he kind of looks at her and she goes, oh, it's not. And he goes, spoilers. And we all know when River Song dies. We know when that happens. We've seen it. And so it is, I mean, it's a crazy special. It's got a giant freaking robot in it, okay? It's got the introduction of Nardole, who's going to be in the next season. We don't know is that, but we have the introduction of him. We have just all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And, like, the first time that you see the diary, you're like, oh, it's the diary. How come she doesn't know this is the doctor? Can't she get it? But this is, she has so much on her mind. So many things have happened. The diamond, she needs the diamond. If she didn't need the diamond to be in her bank account, you know, exchanging the diamond for credit in her bank account, you know, I'm sure she wouldn't have been doing that. Did, and she does. And so it's just a wonderful thing. And what about this, all you women out there? Don't you wish that you had River Song's special magical spray bottle so that you can just give a couple poof, poof sprays and you can change your whole outfit, your hair, everything, and you look gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was like, yeah, I want that for Christmas.
Shut your damn mouth. It is still too soon for me to be thinking about how I can't have that.
Well, one other thing I want to just mention about this episode, too, is that this is a flower in the vase for Rachel Talalay, who directed the episode, and she has directed several great episodes of Doctor Who, and she's coming back this next year, from what I understand.
Yes.
So also want to mention that, too. It's a great episode.
Well, no,
but
she
it's
didn't
not
direct
my
this
favorite.
One.
Yes, she
didn't
did.
Direct this one. No. No,
oh,
not
no,
the River.
No,
not
didn't.
The
sorry,
Husbands
sorry,
of River
sorry,
Song.
Sorry, sorry, sorry. She directed Twice Upon a Time. Excuse me.
Right.
My
right.
fault.
That,
my fault.
But, well, yeah, and then she's also done some pretty good stuff between.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. She also did Tank Girl, too, so don't forget that. All right. We're going to go to my favorite episode, and it's a two-parter. Now, we all know, you know, I've said this before, and I said it today, Donna Noble is my favorite companion, but my favorite character in the reboot, without a doubt, is her grandfather, Wilfred, played by Bernard Cribbins. And he plays such an amazing role in this two-part series. And at the end of this, I was fucking sobbing. And that would be the end of time. I think it is the best Christmas special, without a doubt. And it was two parts. So it was Christmas and New Year's, by the way.
Was it the one where he talks to the face of Bo at the end of time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Carry on.
Okay, that's okay. I'm just going through here. This is the master, and he basically turns every and of course Timothy Dalton is in it as the Lord President. Of course, Catherine Tate.
Of the Time Lords, yeah. Really great.
Claire Bloom is in this too, which is interesting. I didn't know that until much later, but it's a great episode. Basically, only Wilfred Mott remembers, and he's searching for the doctor. Everybody has bad dreams, and It's just an amazing episode. And, of course, this is the one where you got the Knox, the four Knox. And he knows he's been – the doctor knows that Knox four times he's going to die. So this is the last time that Tennant is in the series. And it's just something. It really is. And
well,
– Go ahead, Dick.
If you are just watching the specials and you don't know Donna's story, then it doesn't stand alone, okay? I'm not saying that all the stand alone, because when we go from the Ninth Doctor to the Tenth Doctor, that's also a Christmas special, considered a Christmas special. And it's not really a standalone. It can be a standalone. But if you don't know Donna's story and who Wilford is, it's hard. And the Master, if you don't know these things, this story is very dependent upon background. That's what gives it its sentimentality. And that's why it's number 6 on my list, because without all of that leading up to it, then it just doesn't make any sense. So it's not high on my 10 number 10 list. Although in regular episodes, if you take it as a regular episode, it's way up there, because it's really a grand finale to Tennant and Donna Noble's story. Donna's last name is Noble. Okay, I don't know if anyone's ever talked about this before. I don't know if we talked about it. I don't think we did, but her last name is Noble. And there's a reason why her last name is Noble, and all I'm going to say is look at the episode, the first episode with the Ood, and you will figure out, look at the very first episode with Mount Vesuvius, and Capaldi's in that one. Why is her last name Noble? And then without her knowledge, she has to make the greatest sacrifice of all, which is she has to forget 2 years of her life, extraordinary life, because she took in the TARDIS, she saved the Doctor's life, and for doing these noble things, she gets punished. And so, it's a great two-parter on its own, as far as not being a Christmas special, but being the end of that whole Tennant era. That's why it's low on my specials list, but very high on my regular list.
See that? It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add, Rach?
No, I kind of agree there. Like I said, I haven't seen a lot of the specials, and if I have seen them, I don't even remember recognizing them as Christmas specials. So I'm loving what everybody's saying right now.
Okay.
Gives you something to go hunt down, huh?
Oh, yeah. I have to do it when, you know, nobody's in the room with me, because I don't want to have to explain everything going on in Doctor Who to the other people in my family. So that's usually like one of my nighttime binges. And I've actually been sleeping the past few nights, so I haven't watched any more Doctor Who.
That's okay. When you start watching again, you'll go, oh, yeah, this sounded good.
Yeah. So basically, we've gone through my top 5. Are there any other Christmas specials that you want to mention? That maybe.
Oh yeah, yes.
Okay, go.
Yes. Okay, the one that I personally love, a lot of people don't like it. It's too traditional. They're trying to tell the Christmas Carol over again. Well, you know what? Okay, fine. But I love it, and I love it because, in a time of my life, when I was experiencing loss, when I was alone, this Christmas special came into my life, and I loved it because I've always been a lover of the Christmas Carol. I love the story. I watch it every year. It's a tradition, but it's not just because it's a tradition. It's because I love the story. And so the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe, I love this. And then also, Mark Gatiss is not just the one of the, well, the guest star of it. Even though it says that Stephen Moffat is the
showrunner.
Yeah, thank you. That Stephen Moffat wrote it. I know that Mark Gatiss had a lot to do with this, especially the whole World War I soldier in the pit, the whole Christmas singing, all of that. This is one of the most Christmassy Christmas specials of all of them. And so, and it's Matt Smith, and he actually gets saved by this woman with a good heart, and she has a family, and her husband is a pilot who goes off in World War I. And you have to remember, those of us in America, we see World War I and World War II as we went in and we kicked some butt and we were the heroes, blah, blah, blah. But the British people, they lost half of their young men and their husbands in World War I and World War II. And World War II, they were bombed almost into the Stone Age. The experience is different for us. And so Mark Gatiss, who is one of my absolute favorite human beings on this planet, he was Sherlock's brother in the Sherlock series with Cumberbatch. He wrote most of it. He was the collaborator showrunner. Oh, I just love him. Yeah, so he's the soldier in the blown out crater Mark Gatiss is not. Sorry, I'm getting them mixed up. Oh God, what's wrong with me? I think I'm going through too many pop-ups here on my computer. Sorry, Mark Gatiss is not in that. He was in my favorite Christmas special. Wrong, 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 wrong. This one is just the retelling of the Christmas story, the wishing of children that their father didn't die in the war, the wishing of the mother that her husband is actually going to come home even though she knows he's dead, and Matt Smith granting a wish. Because he was saved by this woman, and he says, make a wish and I will come and I will make it come true. And she doesn't do it because she's like, oh, that guy, he said I could make a wish. She was just how do I tell my children their father is dead? And he shows up, and it's just so heartwarming. That's why I like it. That's why people hate it. It's too sentimental.
Well, it is sentimental. I'll give you that, but I also like the idea that she's connected to the trees. It gets complicated, okay? To the living trees,
yeah, the trees
and so on and so
yeah.
forth. You know, and it's a good one, but it didn't make my list. I don't know why it is, and maybe it's me, but if we talk about the modern doctors, Smith is really like my least favorite, with maybe the exception of Whitaker. And I don't know exactly why, but he does seem, he even did more manic than Tennant. And I just thought, you know, that's a little too much. But
then watch
I do
the
like
Snowman again.
Right, which I have seen, and he's very good in that. But what I do like about this is he's not really the doctor. He's the caretaker in this. He actually plays sort of a different role because he changes the house so much. He cares about the kids And there's a lot to like about this particular special.
Right,
okay?
Right.
I make no bones about it. But I found it a little too, not complicated, but maybe just too stuffed, maybe is the way to put it. There's just so much going
maybe
on.
Maybe the trees part. Yeah, the trees part kind of throws you off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's still a good one. It's still a good one.
Well,
there's no doubt about it.
The trees, maybe when the kids go into the box, the Christmas box, and go into a
right.
different dimension, maybe it shouldn't have been trees. Maybe it should have been something else. Who knows? That part is kind of complicated, yes. But it's not that hard. It's not as complicated as...
No, it's not that hard. And I didn't want to use the word complicated. I said stuffed or overstuffed, that there's like too much going on, right? And that's my opinion on that one. Do you have another one that you want to mention?
The Snowman. Oh, my gosh. Richard E. Grant is in it. I love him.
You're not the only one. And so is Ian McKellen.
I know. There's so many people in this. And Clara's not my favorite.
I believe you mean Sir Ian McKellen.
Yes.
Yes.
Carry on.
You know, this is where Matt Smith is like, here she is again, the impossible girl. And she dies, just like she dies in the first one, Dalek one,
mm-hmm.
with Amy Pond in it, Amy and Roy
right.
both in it. But she keeps showing up in places where he lands that have connections to either his life as far as like Daleks are concerned or Cybermen are concerned or Earth, right? She just keeps showing up. And so I like this because it's got scary snowmen. I mean, I think Frosty's pretty scary anyway. But,
thank you.
Especially when he's Michael Keaton, but that's beside the point.
Well, and so your scary snowmen. It's not quite a Christmas special, but there's snowmen. There's lots of snow. There's Ian McKellen. There's Richard E. Grant. There's Matt Smith toning it down. You know what?
Yes.
He's not jumping around like what you were saying. And he's learning his craft a bit more. You know, Matt Smith wasn't even going to be an actor. He was going to be a soccer player. So, you know, he had to learn.
I thought he was
craft.
A boxer. Never mind.
Yeah. No, he was a soccer player. He got a knee injury. And so anyway, I like this one. I enjoy it. There's a little bit of Jane Eyre in this movie, which Jane Eyre, when I was in college, wrote many papers on Jane Eyre, read it a million times, probably never read it again, but read it a million times back then. So, yeah, I like this one. It's got magic. It's got mystery. It's got scary. It's got everything in it. It's got the woman
okay,
who plays
I,
two separate.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Go ahead.
Oh, just the woman who plays two separate roles, you know. She's the barmaid and she's the governess, you know. It's got everything.
Okay. I'm going to mention two very briefly, which didn't make my list, but they're runners up. One is not exactly a Christmas special. It was aired in April, but it is the quintessential Doctor Who Charles Dickens episode, and that would be The Unquiet Dead. That's the one with the Delft, and it's Christopher Eccleston, and it has Charles Dickens, and, of course, they mention Christmas Carol in it and everything. And it's snow
right.
and so forth. I really like that one. And also, you know, Eccleston never got a special.
Right.
And so I think we ought to at least give this episode an asterisk and say it's a Christmas special. Would you agree?
Okay.
I'll
totally
give
agree.
You that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, I think it's a very good, solid episode. And God knows, Christopher Eccleston was only with us for a season on Doctor Who, and he was superb. He really
oh, yeah.
was.
Absolutely.
You know, up until
he wasn't
Capaldi,
superb.
He was my favorite Doctor of the
Same
whole
here.
Series.
So, Same here.
You know. The other one I have to mention is one that's a little too complicated, maybe, but it's got Capaldi, it's got Father Christmas, it's got everything, it's got elves, and that would be Last Christmas. And I'll kick that over to you, Vicki. What do you think of Last Christmas?
Oh, I love it. I love it because what's his name? Santa. I just think he's a perfect Santa. But it also that it breaks my heart because I was so in love with Danny Pink. I love Danny Pink. I watch everything he's in, even shows I hate. I love him. Samuel Anderson. I just love that
yeah.
actor. And so, I was crushed, absolutely crushed when Danny Pink was turned into a Cyberman. And that's how I knew Bill was going to be turned into a Cyberman. Because if they're going to kill Danny Pink like that, well, they're certainly going to kill Bill that way. And
yeah.
it was crushing, crushing. And so then he comes back and he's so bloody sweet, and they're sitting there on the couch together at Christmas Eve, and it's just, oh. So the scary part of that is, yes, the complication, but it's also the reality of it. Here we have Clara, who is desperately trying to get over the fact that her true love has been killed, and they stumble upon this horror, this absolute horror. But isn't that what life is? I mean, we have our moments, and then we have to go back to real life. How many people, it's Monday, January 2nd, and how many people are back at work going, oh, fuck, real life? So it's a really good Christmas special because it's got the whole thing of, oh, you get the holidays off and then you got to go back to real life and, oh, shit, you know. So,
yeah.
By
the way,
I like it.
The actor who plays Santa Claus is Nick Frost. And
there
he is
you go, Nick
fantastic.
Frost. He's fantastic in everything he does.
Yes.
You know, can I just mention this? Every guest actor is always an actor that you want to see outside of Doctor Who or that you've seen outside of Doctor Who, and you're just like, I love that person. That person is so
yeah.
good because they always get the best people to be in Doctor Who.
And
mm-hmm.
part of that is the legacy of Doctor Who. If you're an actor, you want to be on Doctor Who. Seriously, if you're British,
right.
there's no question.
Right,
none. You
right.
want to be on Doctor Who.
Right. They line
you
up.
Know, how many doctors, like Capaldi, was young, and I mean very young, 10 years old, and he wrote a letter to the people who were running Doctor Who at the time and said, I want to be the doctor someday. Actually said it. So, yeah.
No, I think that
Absolutely.
Was David Tennant.
Was that Tennant? Okay. That might have been Tennant.
Yes, it was.
Man, this episode just missed being on my top five. I love the way it ends. I love everything about it, and it is extremely heartbreaking, particularly for fans of Danny Pink. And
yep.
and yeah, so yeah, it really does tug the heartstrings. It
yeah.
really does.
But it is really good. You know, the whole back and forth with Santa and the doctor, they're back and forth because they're both time travelers. Okay,
right.
One's not a Time Lord, but they both time travel. Give me a break. Santa Claus time travels, okay, to do what he does every year. That's called time travel. And so they go back and forth. They're tossing, you know, the oranges or the tangerines or something, and the play between them is just great.
And, of course, that has to do with the actors, too. And the writers.
Yeah.
I mean, it involves everyone. But with Capaldi and Frost working together on that, it just crackles. The dialogue just crackles because they're both at each other at times. And it's wonderful. And it's very entertaining.
Right.
So I think actually we've done pretty well with the Christmas specials. What do you think, guys? Unfortunately, if you're a fan of Jodie Whittaker, be honest, I've not seen them. So I can't really say anything about the three New Year's specials she's done.
Did we talk
here,
about the time of the doctor?
Here.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
No, did we?
Yeah, I think we did.
Because I think that's Matt Smith's
Oh, no,
best.
We did not. No. Do it. Talk about Time of the Doctor. Absolutely.
Because Matt Smith is that's when he regenerates into the next doctor, into Peter Capaldi.
Right.
And it's the show's 800th episode, and the Silence is in it, which is one of the Transalore is in it. The doctor's name is in it. We watch Matt Smith grow old. There's so much in Time of the Doctor. I really, 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 really like this. And that's just because the doctor feels who he is, what he does. There's a little boy in it. And the boy is always, well, aren't you going to stay with us and protect us? Aren't you going to stay with us and protect us? Why do you go away? And that is a theme that runs through all little boys and their father's lives. Why do you go? Because mm-hmm. it's usually the father who goes away. I go on a business trip. I go, you know, I'm a doctor. I'm gone for 3 days. I'm a whatever. I'm a lawyer. I'm gone. Whatever. I met a guy the other day at the bank who travels. He's one of those big machine operators, but he's like the manager. He's gone from working those earth movers to being the manager part of the company that flies away, and he stays places for a month away from his family. Getting the machines there to do all this. So that theme of the little boy asking the doctor, why do you have to go away? Aren't you going to stay? Aren't you going to stay for Christmas? That theme is there. And it's just, I think it's another really good human Christmas episode.
The other thing I have to say about it, too, is I think it's Matt Smith's best monologue he ever had. At the end,
yes.
where everything is coming to a head, and he has no regenerations, and he's given those regenerations by the Time Lords to keep going, and he just goes off, and it is wondrous. Best thing about that episode, without a doubt.
Yeah. So.
And one.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that if you're scanning through specials, it's definitely worth an hour of your watch because it's about an hour.
Awesome.
I think it's a little more than an hour, or just at an hour and 4 minutes or something like that. It's one of the longer ones, but it's just really worth it. I had to mention it.
There you
Whereas
go.
Dr. Mysterio is the Dr. Mysterio one. not quite worth your time.
There you go. There you go. If I were to say what my worst one was, I'd say probably Mysterio also. I would have to agree with you on that. Have to agree. To be honest, I'm not a big fan of Voyage of the Damned either.
Yeah, I don't like that one too much either.
Yeah.
Those angel guys are gold-faced angels. They're kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, not my favorite. So there you go. Rachel, do you want to add anything before we move on to housekeeping?
No, I think I'm ready for housekeeping at this point. But thank you guys for talking about all of this with me, because of course now I have to go back through and rewatch every Doctor Who ever. And now it's for science. Please tell my husband.
Okay. I'll help convince him.
Okay, so just to give you an idea of what's coming up. Wednesday, which is the 4th, we have Voices from the Bog. That is Eric's new show, and he's going to be talking about accents and speaking and actors he likes and actors he doesn't like and so on and so forth. So that's what he's going to be doing on the 4th. On the 5th, which is, by the way, the 12th day of Christmas and also my birthday, we're going to be doing a commentary watch. And Rachel, do you want to talk about that a little bit and tell us what birthday present you're giving to me?
Well, unfortunately, we couldn't do some of the movies Carl wanted because they are only featured online from a company that we are not representing currently. So he is going to do one with me, and I am going to give him the gift of telling him all about how Gina Davis is amazing in the movie The Long Kiss Goodnight. And that is, of course, to fit into our series that we're starting in January of snow-centric movies, because apparently the whole country's been experiencing some real weird weather shit, frankly. We've been getting snow here in the south in places we never do, snow up there in north in the places like you're not expecting it. So we're going to be doing snow movies in January, and we've actually got a few more coming up. So, Carl, do you want to talk about those?
We'll hold off on those. I know one that we'll do that you were talking about was Dead Snow. I have a couple others, but I haven't set those up yet. But we will do that. That is not a problem. Okay, so that's what's happening on Thursday. On Friday, the 13th of January, Adam's going to be back with Cathar Gray Mission with his show of the new year, and they're going to be talking about Orson Welles. Also, what I can also tell you is on the 12th, TC's going to join me for a Carl's Cavern, and we're doing a show called Make a Jazz Noise Here. And we're going to be doing a whole soundtrack of jazz music. TC is going to focus on some of the more modern fusion stuff. I'm going to be going back earlier than that, and we're getting that one together. I can also tell you on the 19th, Thursday the 19th, that we have a very special show coming, and that is we have Whit Strub, who has written a book about the filmmaker Roberta Finley. Pat Crane is going to join us on that. We have a couple other people, and that's going to be a really good episode. And for those of you that don't know who Roberta Finley is, she was the sexploitation director and very, very really out there for the time. I mean, she started in the 60s and went even into the early 2000s. or late 1990s, actually. But we'll be talking about her films with the author of a new book that's coming out on Roberta Findlay. So that's what we have so far. I can tell you that there's a lot more planned, but we don't have everything set in stone yet. But we're getting there. And that, my friend, is housekeeping. So, Vicki, you want to talk a little bit about what you're planning to come on to our network with?
I'm starting a new show. And I used to do Vicki Loves Sci-Fi, and mostly I spoke on the topic of science fiction. And in this day and age where science fiction, again, is in its low point, there's not a lot of media out there. Television shows, films just are, everybody wants something realistic. I'm sick of it, but anyway. And so in this era of the downtime for science fiction, I decided that I would just start talking about or expanding my vision into the fantasy world, which there was a lot of really bad stuff thrown out there this year and last year on film, TV, and movies. But there's some good stuff, too, and then books. So it's going to just be a kaleidoscope of topics, of which I'll name ahead of time when I advertise my show. So that's what it is, and hopefully by the middle of January, I'll have my first one put together.
Absolutely.
Yay.
And we're waiting with bated breath. I've been fishing, so I need to bait my breath. Never mind. Bad joke.
Fishy at best.
Yes, absolutely. No, but we are really looking forward to that, Vicki, and to have you join us here. And we're very, very proud that you would do that. So thank you very, very much. For everyone who's been listening, I want to say Happy New Year. May this year be something that you look forward to and that gives you what you need to go on to the next year after this, and that the love and friends and family that you have support you and give you strength and give you love. And that's from every one of us here at Deviant Legion. So shall we say good night and Happy New Year to everyone?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Night.
Okay, so let's do it. 1, 2, 3. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
And
Happy New Year.
Good night.
Good
afternoon. Good evening. Good night, John
I'm
Boy.
I'm still out where I live.
Yeah, it is actually here, too. All right, folks.
Well,
good night. Good afternoon. We'll see you. Bye.